Is this on?
Good morning, and it is Saturday, 12th of October, and it is precisely half 12. Yeah.
Ooh. We're starting on time today, yeah.
Right on lunchtime, that's when we started. What are you cooking for lunch? Invite me to your house. I am your host, Trev Tukabi, and today we have a lovely Sarah Arles.
Hello.
Sayo Dave.
Hey.
And William Lee.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, William Lee.
So, pretty much a different team from the team we had before.
I wouldn't say a better team
because I'm not getting into trouble.
But we're sitting right here in slap ball distance.
Yes. But I'd say a very, very good team. You know, a very, very good team. So, guys, if you want to tell us what you've been up to, how was your week, Sam?
It was pretty good. I've just been doing a lot of gigs at my 2-year comedy anniversary on Thursday.
Hey!
Congratulations!
Every time I say people do that, it just means I've wasted a lot of people's time. That's really...
We've all wasted our own time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing, actually. Like, 2 years in and I'm still just waiting on the next.
This week.
Wow.
It's amazing how it can get you down, right? Because you kind of I don't know about you, but like when I started your comedy, I didn't really put a timeline on it. But to me, I thought 2 years, gigging, performing, man, those 2 years made a huge, massive difference, right? And I did those 2 years, and I look at the difference I've made. And
same material, same nights. Two more Twitter followers, maybe.
Seriously, at some point, I actually think I've gone backwards. But anyway,
at this point, all I've achieved is that I can ask people, hey, can you put me on early? And they'll probably say yes. I did that earlier. Like, Diggs was like, hey, can you put me on? He's like, oh, you got somewhere else? I was like, no, I just don't want to be here.
I don't want to have to talk to everyone again and make small talk again about Edinburgh and stuff.
It's depressing. Like, people like Ed Hedges, who we basically saw sort of sat at the same time, he wouldn't say you think you're funny. So I'm just never going to see him again.
Yeah.
That's the last time.
Yep, exactly.
Saw him. Yeah.
It doesn't get any easier, I find. I was probably like 3 years in, and I died on my ass on Wednesday night. And that was horrific. It has been, I know it's not an arrogant way, but it's been a while since I've died that badly. Where you're just like, and I just cut myself off though. Rather than going through the motions and trying to win them back, I was like, nah. And I just came off. It was so unprofessional. Really unprofessional.
Try this one. Thursday, had the worst gig of my life. So
of your life?
I don't. I'm dramatic. But it was like bad. It was bad. I mean, I've died on stage before. What happened there? I've never seen it, right? So I get to the gig. First of all, I thought it was a comedy gig with like a variety gig. So there are comedy singers, whatever. That's what I thought it was. Turned out, most like they had 3 or 4 groups in the audience that were celebrating birthday parties. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, but you know, whatever. So I get on stage, I start doing my set. 3 minutes into my set, it's not going well. And I acknowledge you. I'm like, okay, you guys don't want material. Well, I'm going to chat to you, right? So, I start talking to the audience. The girl in the front row just does not want to talk to me. I make small talk, get a few laughs there and then. And basically, maybe 5-6 minutes into it, somebody shouts like, we are not enjoying this.
Change the channel. Change the channel.
We're not enjoying this.
We need a super.
So eloquently put.
We are not enjoying it. And I'm like, okay. I was like, okay. Do you guys want me to leave then? And they're like, yeah. And I'm and I'm like, guess what? I'm not leaving. I'm just going to call you to death. So, like, from that point, I'm like, fuck this gig, right? I come out here trying to make those people laugh. They're trying to take my dignity away from me. Fuck you. I'm going to take this gig and sink it like a bloody Titanic. So I'm trying to see how bad things can get, right? So right in the middle of the improv, the guy who introduced me on stage, first of all, there was no MC to warm up the crowd.
And I think it makes a difference. You know, people does. Say it shouldn't, yeah. And it's always your fault if you die. I disagree. I think it does make a difference. I think it does.
Because basically this girl who was organizing this social thing just came on stage. Hello, thank you all for coming. A few people are celebrating their birthday. Put your hands in the air. Yay! Like that, you know? And so that's how she introduced me. And while I was improvising, she somehow managed to get on stage without me seeing her. And she grabbed another microphone.
No.
And she was like, well, could all the birthday girl please come to the stage?
You're shitting me.
I'm not shitting you, man. I am not shitting you. And now I'm saying with a microphone, in my head I'm like, is this really fucking happening, right? To make things even worse, all the birthday girls come on stage.
No.
And she asked me to sing Happy Birthday.
No.
And straight away I went to the crowd like, are you guys making requests? Like, I'm not a karaoke machine, you know? I'm a comedian. You guys are not laughing at that. You're going fucking singing no Happy Birthday for you. So anyway, she starts singing Happy Birthday for the girls. I was still on stage with the microphone.
Oh,
at this point, I felt like I was wenting really badly. And they finished the singing, and she was like, okay, please give a warm round of applause to Trevor Kirby. And I was like, and
you win. That's
just
awful.
Got off stage and I got paid and I left.
You got paid though.
Yeah,
there you go. That's a key point. You got paid. There you go.
That's like a great gig.
No.
I've always hated it. It's an awful gig until they hand you the money at the end and you think, nah, I can live with that. Yeah, I've got no dignity.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got no self-respect. I'm going to go home and cry into my pillow, but I've got my money.
Exactly.
If every night I just went on stage and just made people hate me and then I was able to pay my bills for doing that, that would be the dream. That would be...
Nah, but... All right. But I don't know. Like, I felt awkward taking the money because I just...
I know, because
the gig was horrible.
But you still did a job. You still tried to... It's not your fault that you didn't give
me
what
I know. We understand
wanting.
That as comedians. We understand that. However, as audience member, promoters, I don't think they understand that. They feel like, I don't believe I have to pay him for this. You know what I mean?
Well, they booked you for it, so they must have known your material. I think a lot of the time when they say you should always blame yourself, I disagree. I think the MC in the room and the connection, it could just not be your audience.
It's always a sum of its parts. Like, you know, failure is never up to one thing. Sometimes someone might do it done horribly, but, you know... Ultimately, I've done gigs where you just literally like you're just directing traffic in a pub, basically.
Yeah, toilets are over there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've done a gig where people decide to stage in a pub. It should be like, you know, right next to the door where people actually walk in front of you. So
yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. So
get off our chests.
Yeah, I know.
It's just one of those things, like, the thing is, like, because I was getting paid, you know, like, your preparation, mental preparation and all that, you try and get into
it's
that.
It's more
zone.
Responsible.
It's more responsible.
Yeah.
And
there's also the fact that because you're getting paid, so you have to do
You feel
all
like you
your
have
time.
To nail it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing is, when you know you're halfway
time.
And you think, I mean, I have had it where I thought, I'm paid 15, I've done 8 minutes. Oh, God.
Exactly.
You're like, we're going to power through this, and I'm so embarrassed. And then you try, and I worked really hard, and it was horrible, and I came off feeling exhausted. And I thought, well, I earned that money, because I'm exhausted. They're exhausted. None of us enjoyed it. Yeah, just like standard work.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's crazy. What about you, William? How was your week?
It's all right. I ended up doing a Romania's gig, Italian gig up in... Central London somewhere, Blue Post.
Okay.
That was a very interesting in front of a bunch of Italian stand-up comic in front of a bunch of Italian audience.
I've not heard of that gig actually.
Yeah, it's a very lovely gig, and it's odd, like, you know, but it's, I encourage everyone to watch a stand-up comedy in a foreign language. I actually do.
Right.
Because what actually happens then is, you don't have to stay there for the whole night, but you actually see how it works.
Okay.
Actually, I think, yeah, I think I can see how
you
that
see
would
what
be
I
beneficial.
Mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you don't understand exactly what they talk about, but you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key thing.
And do you see the rhythm of them, like, when
yes.
they're leading up to a joke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, like, Giada was great that night, and she's emceeing, she's talking to someone else in Italian. You can see that that's joking. The guy heckled back something, and
yeah.
then she just take it, rip it off it, and then she was taking a piss out of the guy. You can see it.
Yeah.
You don't understand what's going on, but you can see what's going on. So, like, you know, that's why I think it's very technical in that perspective. That's why, yeah, it was fantastic. But back to the point, like, you know, how you guys were saying how awkward it is,
yeah.
like, you know, people what's the point? Like, you know, you're saying that, like, you've been going for years and years, and, and, you know, how awkward it is, like, no progression of things like that. I think I did Up the Creek, like, 2 weeks ago on
yeah.
Thursday. You guys all did
I did it a couple of months ago.
Well,
yeah.
I haven't done it for a long time.
Yeah, have a lovely gig, but, like, you know, some guy actually come up to me and say, oh, yeah, love your stuff. Oh, is this your first gig? And I just turned back around and say, no, I've been going for 5 years. And you were just... awkward. I was like, oh, where do we go from here? Where does this conversation go? So,
start lying. I've decided now, I've reached what, nearly my 4 year point. I'm going to start lying and go back and go, no, 3 years, nah, 2 years. Yeah, it was my first ever gig. And it was
great. And I'm going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's always weird. Like, oh, was that your first kid? It's like, there's my 180th, but...
yeah.
Worry
yeah.
about it.
Did it look like I didn't know what I was doing? That's worrying.
I think, like, at the same time as comedians, we have that thing where we just... kind of proud of our work, and at the same time, it's kind of like
sometimes
you,
I'm not,
you know, we,
not,
yeah, like, we sort of have to gauge when to sort of, you know, see how we want to lead the conversation,
yeah,
because
yeah.
clearly that answer you gave to him sort of made the whole conversation that awkward,
very awkward,
and,
yeah,
yeah. And I've done it in the past as well, you know, sort of similar things. So now I think it's more or less you become aware of that thing, like, I guess as well, is the fact that if people are not into comedy, they sort of want to have an idea, they don't really know what questions to ask,
yeah,
so
right.
their first question would be like, hey, is this your first gig? Which is a dumb question, because
yeah,
if
right.
it's like, I mean, it's not a dumb question, but...
I know,
but
Mike, I think
know?
It's
yeah.
not a dumb
yeah.
question. Like, if you do, like, a standard night, then you probably wouldn't get asked that, but then you still need to go and try new material and go to these nights so that you can
yeah.
master what you want to do for the other nights.
I think,
so, yeah.
I think by virtual, because it's, like, one to watch it up the creek, so
yeah.
it's assumed that
right,
you're all
yeah.
new
yeah.
to a certain
actually,
extent.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you do, like, when I went to Up the Creek, I found it really difficult as someone who, you know, like, we were
yeah.
doing our 20 minutes
yeah.
for the Camden Fridge, to then go from doing 20 minutes to 5 minutes, I couldn't do it. I found it really difficult to try and get what I wanted to get across in 5 minutes, which you think is silly, because when you start out, that's what you have.
Yeah,
yeah I yeah. found, like, so I did Edinburgh this year, and just the knowledge of, like, it doesn't matter, it's my show, let's... go with it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
like, now I'm back in London doing, like, fives, and it's like, well, I've got
to
tell jokes, because
it
can be
no, but it's like, you've got to set up
yeah.
jokes. It's got
yeah.
to be constant, rather than just thinking, I'm just going to tell a story for 5 minutes
yeah.
and see where
yeah.
it goes. You don't really have
yeah.
that kind of luxury.
No,
and I think that's quite, I found it quite tough. Whereas then you see the newbies who have done, like, 5 minutes that's perfectly crafted, and you think, well, that's great, you're going to do better at the 5 minute nights, but
yeah.
then if someone says, do you want to come and do a tryout spot, and
yeah.
then you do well, you probably can't do 10 minutes, and
yeah.
you certainly
no.
can't do 20. So, yeah, you just think about how... Yeah.
But
anyway,
but I'm starting to think that it's not about just even jokes, it's not even about
no.
how much laugh you get, it's about how you come across in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
as long
true.
As you come across in 5 minutes,
yeah.
it doesn't really matter. I can see
yeah.
where you're coming from. Like,
yeah.
after having 20 minutes sitting down telling people, this is who I am,
yeah.
this is who Sarah is, this is who Trev is, this is who Sayo is.
Well,
like,
my
hard.
Show was at 1 a.m, so... Was it a whole lot of
so basically you've got a mutual loathing between you and the audience, because, like, you know, both sides just come together
yeah.
and just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's fun though. It's fun.
No, it's fun. I remember Edinburgh, and some of the fun this time is at 1 o'clock and things like that. But yeah, that's why 5 minutes, like, you know, yeah, it's always hard to do 5 minutes, because it's like, there's so much more to you.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
so much more
that's
to you
exactly
than 5 minutes. It's like,
yeah.
you sit me down for another half an hour, I can tell you everything I want to tell you.
Whether you
want to
know or not.
Yeah.
Let's go, let's power
yeah.
through.
But 5 minutes is like, what am I going to do? I can talk about how I got here. You know, that
yeah.
takes up 5 minutes. So,
do you know what I'm loving is that Trev is very subtly filling up the kettle. I know. And he's trying to do it so casually that no one knows that he's filling up this kettle and he's posing. Now he's laughing.
I think he's going to keep it in this part of the podcast.
So I just love it. It's like we're in the middle of a podcast. He can't possibly wait another half hour to make the coffee.
No,
it's all too much for Trev.
No,
it's all right. He's driving to Hull later. It's acceptable. This is what happens. Power through.
You drive to Hull later? I'm sorry to hear that.
I can't believe I'm... Yeah. I mean, big respect to you. I was going to moan about mine,
Yeah, so it's going to be a long, long trip. Hopefully, I'm not going to be heckled on stage.
Have you done a Northern gig? Because I've done Northampton. I haven't done like...
I think the furthest I've gone will be Warsaw.
You did last night.
And Lincoln, where is that? That's towards, that's Midlands, isn't it?
Is that Lincoln University?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was quite a good gig.
Oh, it's a good gig, it's a good gig, man.
I like the gigs, actually. They actually
have a green room as well for the comedians. We get two beer vouchers.
Get out.
And the students are like, a pretty cool audience. I love university students, man. Like, everything goes, they're just chilled out and they let you do your stuff. They're very receptive to new ideas and, you know, provocative ideas, whatever. Like, they're not going to judge you. Like, they might not laugh at your stuff, but they're not going to judge you because they didn't laugh at this particular stuff.
Yeah.
And what I find with, like, adult audiences is that they tend to be very judgmental. If they don't like one bit, you know,
we're not enjoying it.
oh, trust me, when people pay,
I don't think that was a great idea.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
They're all silent, aren't they, Trev? Making a cup of tea is a really quiet experience.
Trev will try to cut that out and post it.
They do this on radio all the time. They just sobs off, makes a cup of tea. Let's crack open some biscuits. They're not noisy.
When a day goes by, I listen to Radio 5 Live. They're commenting on the football. You just hear a kettle in the background.
Don't worry, it's just like... Trev. He just hops in, makes a cuppa, starts up again, uses all that sugar.
Oh my gosh.
But I will take another cup.
Even though we make the check a Mickey out of you, but we like a cup of coffee.
No one can hear us now, so it's all good fun. So we're going to read some of these fun stories.
Whoever wants to go first, you can read yours. Well, you don't have to read the whole story. I mean, like, I think, for instance, yours is quite long, but I think if you get the idea. Once you read it, and you sort of need to project it.
Trev's basically given an essay to William.
No.
I've got like two lines because, you know, concentrate.
No, I think that's pretty. I think William would know exactly why I've given him this.
I do.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And why I've given you this as well. So.
What, an old woman and her false teeth?
Yeah, go on.
So this is. An elderly woman dialed 999 after throwing a glass of water at fighting dogs, forgetting it contained her false teeth.
Hey.
It was one of dozens of unnecessary calls made to the London Fire Brigade. Oh, another needless call concerned a phone that fell into a toilet and a spider crawling on a pillow.
So, it's just...
Has anyone ever dropped their phone in the toilet before?
Yes, I have.
Because I remember a mate of mine, a male mate, he was in the toilets and he realised that a phone was in the toilet, and so he thought it would be hilarious to pee on it. And then he was halfway through peeing on it when he realised it was a phone. He's like, shit! And I thought that was excellent. You were urinating on it because you thought it was some loser's phone.
Pays not to be an asshole.
You got what you deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the positives of it. It's best that it's his own pee he's got to read.
I agree with that.
I would much prefer to have to touch my own piss than someone else.
That's a valid point.
But like dropping your phone in the toilet is just surreal. Like when it happens. When it happens,
does it seem to slow mo?
This is how it happened to me. I was going to this music open mic night, I got dressed, everything. I was like, I think I had to meet some girls, so I took some some extra precaution, you know, just getting myself.
Look at you tell a story. You, like, we don't need these details.
He's all in the business showing off.
I was in the toilet.
Okay, here we go.
Getting ready. I was like, yeah, let me take a piss before I go. I don't want to, you know. So I was in the toilet. I peed. I did my jeans up, and basically my phone was in my jacket pocket. It was hanging out, and I didn't realize. And as I was about to press the flush, that's when my phone dropped in. But I sort of saw it sort of dropping kind of thing, but my hand was like on the phone, and I was just like, what? And then it was just like, what the fuck? Like, what do I do? I just looked at it for like, for about a minute, I was in the toilet trying to figure out what to do. What do I do?
I think it's worse when it is not a fresh bowl. I think that's really yeah. That's when it, I mean, but the fact that it's your own pee, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. But it just weren't working. So I did what anybody would do in that situation.
You flush
it. I closed
it.
My eyes and put my hand in there and got my phone out, but it wasn't working. And
funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, funny that.
And you're kind of like, come on, man. Yeah. Water, you're not in there. Come on.
What went wrong with it?
So, yeah, it wasn't working.
Just didn't
working.
Like your kind
of
pee, I guess.
I guess so. And I just left and I just went out. So.
Apparently, they said you just dried it up and put it in a bowl of rice.
Yeah, did that. It still didn't work.
Well, there you go.
Still didn't work.
Airing cupboard. Would that work?
I don't know.
Not necessarily. You might kill it totally, but
the bowl of rice thing is pretty popular.
Yeah.
What about buying a new phone? Did that work?
Do you have insurance against your own pee?
That's what I had to do. Get a new phone. You also have another interesting story there.
I do, Trev. Thanks for bringing that up. This is so smooth. It's entitled Czech Republic. A TV station was flooded with complaints when a large penis. Thanks for being here. When a large penis appeared on a monitor behind a newsreader, can't pronounce his name, Česká televize, faces a large fine for the footage shown at 4 p.m., which promoted a documentary. What, a documentary about large penises?
Yep.
Or a lot of penis. Penis?
Pinai.
We're going to be correct about it all.
Yeah, Pinai.
A documentary of, well, there's puppetry of the penis. Maybe it's that kind of thing.
Maybe.
But yeah, that's like, yeah.
I don't know.
I just thought if we had that something like that on the BBC, I'd like to see how many complaints that I get.
They complain.
Shut down straight away. Just shut down on terrestrial TV, you know.
Do you ever watch Points of View? I don't know if it's still on, but I remember I watched it once when there was a huge complaint against Terry Wogan because they said that his trousers were too tight. And everyone was offended by his, like, meat and two veg in his tight trousers. And so then when he was presenting Points of View the following week, he sat down, like, his legs apart, and then all of a sudden he looked suggestively at the camera and they crossed his legs. Sorry, viewers, or something like that. It was classic.
Just do a send over to the point.
Offended by a penis. Yes. Oh my god.
Well, at least my rates is going up. What's it called again? The BBC, the TV license fee is going into the right place.
Is he?
No.
That was what we call a joke.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
But what is the fascination with men taking pictures of their penises, though, really?
What's the fascination?
Well, is it just in case you forget what it looks like?
No.
You know, I don't think I would be able to pick my penis out of a lineup.
No.
I don't really talk about it. And I see it every day.
I don't think that's mine.
Just not from that viewpoint.
Like I've never seen it from an external viewpoint.
Exactly.
Or in the mirror, no?
But it's not the same.
I don't know. I think it's something you do like when you're in your teens kind of thing, like, because like the whole sex thing is kind of new to you, so when you're in your teens, kind of like, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, look at this. But you know, as you grow up,
the other men look confused here, Dre.
It's just you don't really say words, but your emotions convey facts that your words just aren't saying.
And I think as you grow up, you just grow out of it. Some men do, some men don't. But it's like. You know, it's like saying, I don't know what women think with, I don't know, shoes.
I can't answer that maybe, either. I'm looking at what I'm wearing. I'm wearing Converse, crying out loud.
You're saying pictures of penis is like women's having shoes.
Yes, that's exactly what I got from that. There's women in their shoes. Silly women with their shoes.
And then
there's men in their penises. I don't look at my penis. Look at my shoes. They're Jesus.
That was the worst comparison ever.
It was quite bad. We're really not enjoying this trip.
Maybe women and their breasts. Some women are fascinated with their breasts.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not confusing that with you being fascinated with some women's breasts?
Well, I am.
Why are they?
I think that's very true.
Yeah, I think some women are. Like, you go out and, you know, they show it up. Like, yeah, look at this, yeah, you're not having this.
I really wish that people would see what you're saying. You're pointing and you're
my nipple. You're not having this.
As I would say, when I was younger, I used to draw attention to my cleavage because I didn't want people to look at my face.
Wow.
But they do think there's no amount of strength. Maybe we should have a coffee and change the subject.
Yes. Okay.
Who else has a story?
Oh, we go as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a bit of a long one, so...
Yeah, that might take you some time.
Yeah. Are we going to wait for Trev to dump the coffee first before, or are we just going to keep talking over it?
Okay, I mean, I can edit this bit since we, it's going
to... I think it's quite funny that you stopped to make us tea and...
Yeah, so I'm going to be making tea and coffee, and Sayu has like 5 sugar in his tea.
Really? You do 5 sugar in your tea?
Yes, indeed.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean...
No. What's the worst that could happen?
There's worse things you could do.
You just have sugar with tea with it. That's the other way around.
I'm still young enough to think I'm going to live forever, so it's fine.
Yeah. I'm not young enough to think I'm
going to. Type 2 diabetes.
I actually just had a test for type 2 diabetes. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not going to jinx.
No, I've got the result and it's fine. But I think it's actually the moment I hit my, 31. And then I got a letter from my doctor saying I have a diabetes test.
Ooh.
It's like, how mean. It's like saying you're old. Have a test, you're old.
Yeah.
But I'm fine, so I'm still young.
That's all right. We're going to get a prostate check or something.
That's one thing about
being
old.
Now we're back to talking about meeting two veg again. We're moving on from that, William.
Yeah, we are. We've got a very sophisticated story here that Trev gave me. Like, you know...
that he very kindly cut out.
Basically, it's about websites spying on users to track habits. So 100 of the world's most popular websites are using top-secret spying software to monitor their users' serving habits. Banks, financial firms, and other big companies use so-called fingerprinting to track customers' behavior without telling them, say researchers.
Isn't that illegal, though?
It is illegal, but then again, there's this thing called cookies that they can leave on your computer. You know how...
I don't know what cookies are. I really have... Obviously, I know what cookies are, but I don't know what cookies in the IT world means.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just keep enabling and...
Yes. You think cookies, that sounds nice. Nothing called a cookie can be harmful,
you
really.
Sweet and made of chocolate and crunchy. It's like, no, you know...
If it was called honeycomb, you'd be like, well, that's nice, isn't it? Of course I'll enable the honeycomb.
I don't even question it. Anything that frosts, I'm just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, you could say, this is going to destroy your laptop. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Terms and conditions accepted.
Yeah, I definitely read those.
Every time.
You know how sometimes when you go to, like, a Hotmail or Gmail or something like that, the website will remember your email and automatically
password,
put in your password?
All right.
Well, Cookie doesn't remember the password, but Cookie definitely remembers the email address and that sort of thing.
Oh, is that what it is that remembers
So basically, next time, like, you know, one time, like, you know, you browse a website and then you enable the cookies, and next time you go back to the website, you kind of knows what you've been browsing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit like Amazon.
No, I've done that because obviously I recently got married and I share a computer with my husband and I've seen what he's been browsing. It's just poor. Just erase the history. Just be polite about
don't,
it.
Don't
you
try
know?
To
you get,
buy
get Google
maybe,
Chrome
maybe,
just incognito
it.
Mode.
Maybe,
it doesn't say
maybe
that
he's trying to give you like some hints about something. That's why he's leaving the history there. Like, hey, this is what I'm getting into. Hey.
I think we should.
Delete, all that means is that his porn isn't that weird, which I guess.
No, I guess it's not that weird. He's more into Minecraft. We actually got a Minecraft sword as our wedding gift.
Hey, there we go.
I don't think that was for me.
No, if you don't
play
Minecraft.
And then he wants to get another one so he can do the crest above the TV.
Ah, I see.
That's how cool we are.
If you got one sword, you have to get two.
Exactly.
That's what his argument was, yes.
Exactly.
It's like I have a unicycle, and I was considering buying another one. And I thought, if you got two, you might as well get three at that point. But then what colour do you get? It's just a whole hassle.
It's a minefield. It's like women in their shoes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what colours to get? Thanks for the tea, Trev.
No,
thanks for the tea, Trev.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good stuff.
So you're saying, Dan, here that the researcher uncovered 145 of the internet's 10,000 top websites that secretly track users via Flash Player software without their acknowledgement or without their knowledge or consent. Another 404 site uses JavaScript-based fingerprinting, which allows site to track devices that do not allow Flash website. Online retailer, a large ebook provider, and porn websites were also found to be using in order to prevent account sharing.
You're saying porn websites are doing illegal things?
Basically, yeah.
No!
Yeah, exactly. You are being tracked whether you're on a porn site or a banking site.
So it doesn't matter, mate. You might as well just go on to whatever site you like.
Enjoy
yourself.
Exactly. Go on to a porn website and then play poker.
I think the greater issue.
Renew your car insurance. Why not?
Well, yeah. It's like, you know,
while I'm here.
See, guys, one thing that as you get older, like, you know, whenever you're doing something, you just get distracted by life. Like, what kind of banking are you going to use? Are you going to change over your policy tomorrow? Yeah, better do that. So,
yes, I do need to buy.
Yeah, this other bank is offering like £100 for a new account. Yeah, let me look my. And it's like,
why are you fucking £400?
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, people do that, but. Do you know how much hustle you get when you go to the bank, all the queues and shit? Like, I do online banking, so I don't go so much at the bank, but when I do, every time I go to the bank, I just hate it. Like, it's never straightforward. I can never just come in, get served, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's not a five-minute thing.
No.
You know what I mean? Then there's a guy there standing with a fucking
pad
in his hand.
Oh, he's doing
like,
with the picture?
Yeah. What the fuck, man? Like,
I don't.
You know what I mean? Can we offer you other services?
No.
Like, no. You go there to get some money out of your account. What else can we help you with? Like,
you speed up the process.
Yes, yeah.
Please. Write that down.
You know?
I remember back in the days when I was like, this is showing my age.
Back in the day.
No, I'm serious, because I used to have to bank check for a company that I work for. Nobody does that.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. Man, I'm that cashing that check like on $100,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hookers and heroin. Yeah.
You know those.
They've never done that trick.
You know
those slidey things, though, the credit
slidey. Oh, yeah. I used to have to write some of those. Like, you know,
no.
It's amazing.
No.
I love it.
God.
Yeah, just get the details down and then just carbon copy it and then pass it around. There you go. Security right there. No, because I used to get paid, like, you know, I was an accounts clerk for a small company. So one of my jobs is to go down to the bank and then start waiting in the queue and pay for checks. Right. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're not in the office.
Yeah. No, I get paid for it.
Wow.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, so I used to spend like an hour just standing in a queue, just go, you know what, I'm just going to zone out, you know, have my Discman.
And that
there,
to you is living the high life, is it?
Exactly.
I'm just going to zone out.
Exactly. Just zone out for an hour because I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Trev. That told you.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Trev. Just killed the mood as well.
No, it's fine. I think the issue with the article there, why I picked it, was privacy of the public in general.
Yeah.
Like, in the UK, we have the most cameras, most CCTV in the whole world. And
is
this is
true?
Small
yeah.
island.
We do.
Oh.
This is a small island. You look at America, how massive America, Canada, South America is, you know? And, I mean, you know, so not only do we have, like, all these CCTVs around, but then all our online activities are being tracked. Like, you know, I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not a criminal. I don't want people to know exactly what I'm doing. Like, you know...
I think the worst thing is your behaviors are not being tracked, not just being tracked. Like, for example, if like, you know, you go to the bank and they track your banking habit, that's fine. But and if you go to, say, for example, like Amazon, they track your retail habit, that's fine. It's where they start matching them all up
Like, assuming that they've got you pegged
exactly.
Yeah.
So Sarah asks, now I know where she banked, now I know where she shopped, now I know what she
I am all the time.
Exactly. That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's where the whole cookies thing comes in. And it's like, not because they look at their own cookies, they actually look at other cookies.
Oh, yes,
like, oh, look, you've been doing this, you've been buying that, oh, you've been going here, you've been going that.
But why? Why would... That's the thing, is that there's so many cameras. Why are there so many? Is the crime so bad, or they're so paranoid that they have to have them? I don't... it just is a little bit
suspicious. I mean, it just makes sense of, like... It's better to have the cameras than to have too many than to have not enough.
But
are they preventing anything?
No,
that's the thing,
they're not.
Do we know that they're actually...
I don't know if they... I don't know.
Cameras.
They can't do any harm, though, right?
I think the issue with a camera is it's not that they're doing any harm. It's more or less... It's... I think that... For me, the issue is that it's not there to protect society, you know? Like, yes, they say it's there to protect society, but you've had cases where people have gone to the police where they've had their phone stolen or their car stolen and they've had things on camera, and the police hasn't been able to do anything about it, even though they had proof.
Oh.
So it's not so much that. Like, that's what they will tell us, the public. Oh, yeah, it's for your own safety, it's for your own safety. When in actual fact, they're making money from those cameras.
Yeah, you know, they're making money. Because one thing they do in this country that they don't do around the world, at least not in Australia, not in most part of America and Canada, is, like, you know, if you park on the red line, no one needs to actually see it. A camera sees you park in a certain red line, it just takes a photo of you and then send you a fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys take it as a norm, but that's not the norm throughout the world.
Is it not?
No.
I'm just finding out.
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, you know, someone has to patrol and, like, you know, drive around. And
we
say,
have those as well, though.
Yeah,
but that's the whole point of what he's saying, is that somebody, a patrol officer or, like, one of those guys, was parking ticket guy, somebody has to actually see you commit the offense in order for you to get fined.
Exactly.
You know, just because there is a camera there with a picture, the camera is there anyway.
Yeah.
The camera is going to be there forever or until it breaks down. So it's like, okay, maybe you've done something.
You said that suspiciously, or until it breaks down.
Nudge. I remember that. That's one thing.
This whole thing seems suspicious. Like, oh man, they shouldn't have the cameras because, you know, you should just be able to commit a crime.
And just
get away with it.
And then go into the bank and deposit your money like a normal person within a good amount of time.
How fucking inconvenient.
If there's no witnesses, then they should just let it slide.
But, you know, like, I think, I don't know, we have, I think we have, the fact is we have too many cameras, and they cannot justify why this small, tiny island has the most camera in the whole world. That's the bottom line. You know, yes, maybe my argument ain't strong enough to say why we shouldn't have so many cameras, but nobody can justify why we have so many cameras on this tiny island. You know?
Doesn't it really just seem like everyone else should have more cameras?
I mean, are we the biggest threat, though? Is that because we have, the biggest target for terrorism? I don't know.
I don't know, but Sarah,
it predates terrorism. Like, you know, it predates 7/7. Like, London is known to be...
That was the first terrorist attack,
7/7. Not the IRA.
9/11 was the first terrorist attack. We know
before
that.
7/7. Everyone.
The IRA. They
were so recent.
Who are they
again? I can't tell you what year.
I was actually
on the tube during
7/7. Yeah.
Wow.
Is those privacy cookies and stuff that we talked about, is that related also to, for instance, when you get an email from Twitter saying, hey, do you want to be friends with this guy, with that guy, with that guy?
We see you follow these people.
Yeah.
They're similar to this.
Yeah.
No.
Not really, because Twitter doesn't... It remembers cookie, but they don't really scan your cookie and things like that. But Twitter, like, you know, they work it out within, like, you know, they got software. They know what tweet you make. They can scan for words and stuff like that. And they say, oh, you say this word. And then there's all those other people that also know this word as well. So they just make the connection.
I think it's as sophisticated as that. I think it's just like, oh, you follow this person. A lot of other people follow the same people. They also follow this guy, and you follow that guy.
You know what's the scariest?
You can't pigeonhole me.
You know what's the scariest thing? Like, you know, I heard about this as well. So the digital shadow. Look it up. basically, like, you know, now, like, you know, when like, you know, if you have a kid now, Trev,
yeah,
basically he will be online. He, yeah, or she will be online because, like, you know, not just because you might decide to have a Facebook page for her, yeah, for her when she was born, but then again, like, you know, she might have friends at some point post photos of them.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, you know, 20 or 30 years later, every single one of the people running around is going to have what they call...
Be documented.
Go, yeah, be, yeah, documented a digital shadow. Like, there's literally a track record.
That's
of
really
how you
true
grew up.
Wow.
Like, me at the moment, no one knows what I was like back when I was 7 or 8,
yeah,
but our kids will...
Yeah, you're right.
Know.
Yeah,
people
you're
will
right
know. And the other scary thing I want to point out is that, you know, nowadays, right, have this happened to you guys? You know, someone else posted a photo, or maybe you decided to post a photo, and Facebook would just say, oh, would you love to tag your friends? And then you would just have a photo of, like, literally sewing into the photo of your friends,
yeah,
and asking, do you want to tag them?
Oh, so you'd seen that.
So you'd actually recognize photos,
yeah,
or some your
oh,
photo.
Oh, right, okay,
or
with
some,
friends, yeah,
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 yeah. So
that's weird.
Yeah, so it doesn't actually, like, you know, nowadays, right, it doesn't need to, what's the word, it doesn't need, the connection doesn't need to happen because you say it happens.
Yeah.
You would just
it's,
recognize,
yeah,
it.
It's automatic, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
yeah,
so if someone, say, like, you know, went to a nightclub, took a photo of Trev, or
peeing
maybe
on his
phone. Penis, no, just
oh,
took a penis,
just,
there you go.
Just no fault.
There you go, you just say, and he knows Trev.
Yeah.
By the dick.
That belongs to Trev, yes.
Actually, I don't think that is Trev. I've not seen my little lineup. All right. Let me see again. Let me see all the men again. No.
We don't need lineups. You know, you think about it, you don't need lineups anymore.
Yes.
You just need to pick and put the face of
Facebook,
yeah,
and then,
yeah,
there you go. You just say, oh, yeah, that's you over there. It's like, wow.
It's like Catfish. Have you watched the program Catfish?
Not really, but
our program for people who've never heard of Skype.
Yes, that's the one, yeah. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's basically a show about people that have online relationships through Facebook, but they've never met and they've never Skyped, they've never seen each other.
Yeah.
So basically, any normal person watching it would think, well, obviously they're fake. Or there's one person that's genuine, and the person they've met happens to be a supermodel or he's ripped or whatever. And then this program is when they actually bring people together.
Right.
So they start off by finding the profile that they think is fake, and then they put the image of that person from Facebook and scan the whole of the internet to see if it matches up to anybody else. And it's scary how you can instantly match someone,
mm-hmm,
from whether they've got MySpace or you've got Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a record, like,
and
you said, of everything.
And that's where the world that we're actually moving in, like,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, this is how you link up with cameras, like, because,
yeah,
you put,
yeah,
all this information in different places, and that's why it's scary, the whole NSA, GCHQ,
yeah,
thing, because once all you need to do is link them all together, I can literally track Sarah R. I know everything about her, everything she does on the internet.
Really,
now I know her phone, like, you know, that phone, IMAC code or whatever,
yeah,
it is. I can literally track her down to where she was, like, you know, throughout her day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly in Starbucks, mate. Really. Either at a gig, Starbucks, home.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that brilliant, like, you know, but then again, like, you know, someone might want to find out how you get your gigs, like, you know, they don't need to ask you anymore, they just need to track you and find out where you go to.
But yeah, haven't you done that? I've done that with other comedians when I've seen they've done gigs and they're like, man, I want that. And then you Google them and think, oh, they've got a website, but they're listed gigs.
That's
convenient. Those are now going to be my gigs.
Exactly.
Is this on?